think they're on.
I don't know how to speak into a microphone.
Is it turned on right now?
Yeah, I'm turned on right now. Feel my nipples.
I do. Whatever.
Can we get through one podcast without you touching my nipples?
Can we get through 1 hour? No.
I hope not.
No.
I don't want to face
every
that
hour you are sleeping, I just sneak right in.
While you were sleeping, too, I touched your nipples. Well, welcome to the Geek Stampede Weekly Roundup, episode one.
I see what you
we're
did
we're rebooting again.
The dog growled at me.
Can you, why don't you interrupt our podcast some more?
The dog growled at me.
Well, you don't, you get back to your cave until it's time to record Bride of the Creature, foul woman. Anyway, as you may have noticed on this show, we're really bad at talking about comics. We get sidetracked, so rather than even pretend that we're a comic podcast anymore, we figured we'd just start things off with a new number one, which is pretty comic-y, if you think about it.
Mm-hmm. It's the all-new Comic Round, not Comic Round.
Yeah, it's all-new, not Comics Roundup.
It's the all-new Comic Round, not Comic Roundup. You gotta add in my Fox Pass.
What?
Faux pas.
All...
I was saying them phonetically. Fauks pass? I don't know.
Faux pas. That's what you're trying to say. Faux
yeah, but I was saying it phonetically. Are you shocked that I know what phonetically means?
Except that phonetically it's pronounced faux pas.
Yeah, but...
Phonetically it would be F-O-H-P-A-H. Faux pas.
Am I mixing up words?
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, the point is, welcome to the show. It's the all-new non-comics roundup number one, Geek Stampede. We may talk about comics. We will talk about comics. But we'll also talk about all the other stuff that isn't comics that we are always talking about.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, going to be basically like Q 107. We play full albums.
Just Led Zeppelin 28 hours a day.
Which Led Zeppelin album though?
It doesn't matter. They're all bad.
I like Led Zeppelin. Who doesn't like Led Zeppelin?
I don't.
Yeah, but you have horrible taste.
I do.
I've been in your vehicle and been like, what are we listening to?
I like... The only band I like that was, like, around before... There's two bands I like that were around before 1980, and that's, like, some of The Clash.
The Clash is good.
And The Rolling Stones.
Rolling Stones are also good.
And pretty much everything else, if I never heard again, I'd be happy.
Wow, that's, like, a lot of music.
Yep.
Okay, well, you're wrong, because the Talking Heads are the greatest band of all time.
I never actually heard the Talking Heads.
Anyway.
Well, maybe.
You've heard a couple of those songs.
Wait! There is a song that I like.
All right.
No, never mind. It came out like last year. It was a Rihanna song.
Well, that has nothing to do with 1980. Why did you even bring it up?
I just like Rihanna.
Well, anyway, we forgot to mention, I am Joey G. Joining me is Mr. Ryan Heff.
Yeah.
And Robbie G is in bed because he forgot we were recording. So it's just the two of us. Just the two of us. We can podcast if we try. Just the two of us.
Just you and me. You
Ryan
and me.
And I. So, brace yourself for the next 10 minutes of wrestling talk.
Oh, we're going to talk about wrestling?
Oh, we're going to talk about wrestling.
Oh. That, you know what? That, this whole entire segment came out of nowhere.
Oh my God. Yeah. Oh my God. That segment had a family. Okay, so, wrestling talk.
Fantastic stuff. You know what was my favorite part of wrestling in the past week?
What was that?
Was Bo Dallas's open challenge.
Oh yeah, the big guy.
The big guy is back.
Ryback. Ryback is back.
And he's just like old Ryback.
Yeah, he's a baby monster face. Who eats Heath Slater.
My favorite thing that he did in the during his entire heel run, other than like call himself the big guy because it's hilarious, but at one point in one match, it was like a Ryback-style match, and he started doing the arm punt for the clothesline, and the crowd was chanting "Feed me more," and he just went, "Ha ha, still got it," and just like clothesline the shit out of some guy.
It was such a weird choice to turn him heel.
I get turning him heel because like big monster heel, but at the same time,
but like big monster face is fun.
Yeah, very
you
fun.
Know, people like a monster face. Mm-hmm. Like there's a reason Goldberg was over, even though he was a terrible worker. Ryback is 10 times the wrestler that Goldberg ever was,
and Ryback still is not a great worker.
No, he's not. But he's got enough muscle that he can. Yeah. You know who would be a great feud for Ryback? Is heel Cesaro and face Ryback.
That would be fantastic.
Because you know they could do some cool stuff.
Think about the vertical suplexes, like the delayed suplexes.
Do you remember? I don't even remember because it was only a week ago. But when we were watching Hell in a Cell, the suplex, the suplex spot in the Cesaro Ziggler match.
Do I
remember? Like they were tied up in the corner, and eventually it was just like Cesaro climbed to the top rope with Ziggler on him and then did that, like, power superplex.
Where he pulls him off the apron.
God, that was cool.
That's, like, my favorite move in wrestling right now, is that suplex, but where he pulls them off of the apron and he's on, like, the first or second rope.
And just, like, lifts them up.
Because it's stupid strong.
He didn't pull
him
off the apron for that one. Remember, Ziggler had him in that armbar thing and he just, like, walked him to the corner and towered out of it. And then he climbed with Ziggler on him, he climbed to the second rope.
Yep, okay.
And then just, like, flat out power, like, deadlifted Ziggler up. It was so great.
Because I remember, because he almost slipped on the second rope.
He did slip getting up first, then he got back up. Yeah, it was great. Oh,
but,
that was so good.
Apropos of nothing, I do enjoy the suplex from the apron, though.
Yeah,
it's like how strong.
He's so strong. It's crazy.
Because you can't, like, I guess you can get a little bit of help from the other guy, but that's pretty much all
and
him.
And he's, like, all with your back and arms, too.
Yeah.
Like, you're not getting under him with your legs.
Yeah, and that is, like, one small slip away from just looking horrible.
one giant leap for mankind, for all mankind.
Thank you. Please just do that voice.
So I can't do the Mankind one as well as I can do the Cactus Jack.
Mm.
I should look up
Mankind
the text
is like
Cactus Jack
even
over,
higher
deliver
pitch.
It to you and see if I give you chills.
I think you'll probably
well, the Cactus
just
Jack
give me
one
clumsy
has to sound
idea.
More like unbalanced.
Yeah.
You know, whereas the Mankind one.
Well, just hold a weight in
I guess
one hand.
Early Mankind ones are really unbalanced and like
really
shrieky,
crazy.
They're
yeah.
More just like, oh, I'm screaming.
You just gotta, if you didn't have a child, I'd just start screaming Kane Dewey right now.
What a great angle that was.
Yeah, was that ECW?
Yeah, it was.
Because it was ECW.
That was led to, I remember him, like, that led to the whole angle where he had, like, he was, like, the advocate for WCW and he had the Forgive Me, Uncle Eric t-shirt
on. Yeah. I wish we had the WWE Network. Like, the real one, not fucking stupid Rogers Channel.
Yeah, I'm kidding.
I'm sure there's a way. I think I'd need a U.S. address, and I don't have one of those. Oh, well. Kane Dewey.
Oh, man. Do you remember...
excuse me.
Here we go. This is the performance segment of the podcast, where Joey G is going to perform a promo. Mick Foley promo in character, switching halfway through between two of the faces of Foley. Are you ready?
Uh-oh.
Mm-hmm. Triple H, that is enough! Is that what you get off on? Making fun of me? How much more do you want from me? First, you take away my job. Then you bring this idiot out here. And you take away my dignity. Then Monday night, and what should have been the greatest night of my life when I was reinstated on Raw is War. You take me, you ruin my shirt, you ruin my face, and I'll be honest. I'm going to skip forward a little bit because that's really long there. Best in the business. But I think WWE fans deserve a substitute in that match. What I'm going to do, Triple H, is I'm going to name him right now. And as a matter of fact, I think you know the guy. He removes his mask and shirt and tie to reveal a familiar t-shirt. And I think you know him pretty damn well. His name is Cactus Jack. And his first official act as part of the WWF is to kick your teeth all over the city of Chicago. And then there's the great, he beats him up, and then Triple H at the Royal Rumble. You're going to make me bleed? I got some news for you. It'll not be the first time, and it sure as hell will not be the last, because I've got an awful lot of blood to give. But as far as you look into my eyes and realize I mean every word what I tell you. I'm going to tear you apart in New York City. And then, I can't do it because you're laughing, I'll take what you hold dearest. I'm talking about your cherished WWF Championship belt. I'll take it, and it'll be mine. Mine. All mine. Bang, bang.
Sorry.
They kind of got away from me there. I was doing it better yesterday, I think.
You,
Foley's baby boy.
You were just looked so angry. Like, you were really yelling at Triple H.
Dude, Triple H, he took my dignity, ripped my shirt.
He might make you bleed. I think you got a lot of blood.
Moments in the history of wrestling, though, when that promo before Royal Rumble, when it turns out Cactus Jack was back,
and then Triple H like sold the hell.
Oh,
of it.
That's why it works because Triple. Yeah. We've talked about this so many times. Yes, that's why it works because Triple H. That's why I will never be able to not like Triple H.
I mean, 2002 to 2004 kind of ruined him for me, but
I mean, yeah, and luckily that was towards the end of my watching for a while. But like,
fair enough.
I know that when he was like the only person on TV every week, it was kind of like when he was Cena, it was kind of annoying, but.
Well, like, that was when it was, like, him on Raw, and then SmackDown had, like, insane, like, the SmackDown roster was unreal, easily man. The A roster. Like, oh, yeah. And yeah, I mean,
Mysterio, the SmackDown 6, right? Yeah, like Mysterio.
I think the SmackDown 6 were there, but
Eddie Guerrero.
Also, like, Chris Taker was there. That was when, like, Hulk Hogan was there as Captain or Mr. America or whatever.
Right.
So, like, just in terms of star power alone, they SmackDown had, like,
yeah.
Like, Raw had, I don't know, Evolution.
But on the SmackDown 6, it was Rey Mysterio, Edge.
Edge Guerrero, and Christian,
Benoit, Mysterio, Christian, Gray. And Kurt Angle?
I think so, yeah.
But then they also had, like, Lesnar.
Yeah, they had... SmackDown was the best back then. And now, SmackDown is
not a show.
Superstars, but 2 hours long.
Yeah, I don't watch SmackDown, because when was the last time there was anything that happened on SmackDown? They should... If they're going to have a three-hour Raw, they don't need to have SmackDown.
No.
They should just do an extra
house show. And then, but then they do like, they do a 2 hour SmackDown, then they do an hour of Superstars, right. And do they still do Saturday Morning Slam?
I don't think so.
Oh, because that show was amazing.
It was great.
It was so much fun. And then on top of that, they do an hour of NXT. Is it an hour or 2 hours?
But they tape NXT in Florida.
They tape it all in like a night or two.
Yeah, but they don't do
for a month.
They don't do it in a row. They do NXT at FCW.
Yeah. That's why, like, Sami Zayn and a couple other guys are always touring and doing house shows and stuff, is because they're only taping for one night. And that's why, like, Titus O'Neil is on NXT. Titus. Hurrah, hurrah, hurrah. I love Titus O'Neil.
Slater Gator.
Give him the belt right now.
Slater Gator.
I like the Dust Brothers. Drop the belts.
To Slater Gator. Well, I would be happy to see the Dust Brothers get to face somebody other than the Usos.
I don't know. I haven't seen that match enough. Literally, in the last year, I have seen that match 25 times.
You know what it reminds me of?
It's always
how
good.
How many times did we see Alberto Del Rio and Randy Orton, or Alberto Del Rio and Sheamus?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
every other
holy
week.
Shit.
You know what it reminds me of? How many times have we seen John Cena and Randy Orton?
And yet, despite that, how good was their Hell in a Cell match?
It was pretty good.
Pretty good.
It wasn't, like, fantastic. The other one blew it out of the water, but it
I
was
think
pretty
if we
good.
Hadn't seen Randy Orton and John Cena wrestle so many times, we would have liked it more.
But
because it was a pretty good match.
Yeah, it was a good match.
But
it was... It's so watered down, those two.
It's just so... Yeah.
I can't remember. I saw this, like, written somewhere. But the guy pointed out, like, there's guys who have series of matches. And, like, you can even look at, like, say, Orton and Christian when they had that long series of matches. They had chemistry together.
They really did, yeah.
Rock and Austin had chemistry together. Taker and Foley had chemistry together. Taker and Michaels clearly did.
Foley had chemistry with almost everybody
he
ever feuded with. Except for like Abyss and Ric Flair,
pretty much
all of his TNA stuff.
Actually, that one street fight with Flair was actually pretty good. Just really
okay,
bloody.
Just too bloody.
It was garbage, but
He had his lockdown match with Sting where he dropped the belt was not a spectacular match, but the story was good. Like they did some good storytelling in that match.
But Randy Orton and John Cena really don't have any chemistry. Like that was the least clunky match they've had. That was probably the best match they've had. Like actually, by far, that was probably the best match they've ever had. But
yeah, you're probably right.
But like I said, didn't hold a candle to Rollins and Ambrose.
No, because
that bump was kind of, at the start was kind of insane. Like for 2014 WWE.
Do you remember when there was a very similar bump where was Mr. McMahon off of the cage when Austin smacked his head into the cage and McMahon went off?
No.
It might have been, I want to say it was at St. Valentine's Day Massacre, but it was a very similar.
Was that when Big Show debuted?
I don't remember.
When he was known as Paul White, because I know he debuted at Valentine's Day Massacre.
Maybe it wasn't that match then. It was a.
But it was like a cage match, normal cage
McMahon,
match.
McMahon cage match.
I think it was.
No. I just know it was a cage match
because I'm pretty sure like. Big Show, then known as Paul White, of course.
Yeah, you know what it was?
He ripped the side of the cage off or something
stupid. It was Big Show's debut. There was a Rock Foley match in that at that one. Mm-hmm. But it also has that awesome... It had a really good... McMahon takes a really cool bump off the side of the cage through a table. And I think that was one of the first times people were like, I didn't think Vince McMahon could work a decent match. I mean, a lot of that is like...
It's a lot of tricks. Like,
it's a lot of tricks, and it's a lot of like the catharsis of seeing the best babyface of all time beating up arguably the best heel of all time in the context of each other. Like,
yeah.
McMahon as a heel was never as good as when he was a heel to Austin's face.
Yeah.
You know, the authority figure heel is a great heel gimmick, but it was never executed as perfectly or as well as when it was McMahon-Austin.
And really, that was kind of the beginning of, like, because before that you had, like, Jack Tunney, who would show up once every 4 months in WWE.
Dude, we should watch this pay-per-view and, like, discuss it on a podcast, because the card looks cool.
Valentine's Day
like,
Massacre?
Goldust versus the Blue Meanie. So great. That's not the best part so far. Bob Holly versus Al Snow for a hardcore title. So that'll be a junk match.
Yep.
Big Boss Man and Midian. Okay, I promise this card gets better. Owen Hart and Jeff Jarrett versus D'Lo and Mark Henry for the Tag Team Championship.
That's two guys who I think are great workers and two guys who are so overrated.
Yes. I know. I completely agree. I will also point out that Deborah is in this match.
So puppies.
But here's the thing. D'Lo and Jeff Jarrett, hugely overrated. Huge.
I'm glad that you knew exactly who I was calling overrated.
Yeah. But Mark Henry, but Owen Hart is so good that
Owen Hart's amazing.
Owen Hart could wrestle a mop and get a good match out of it. Like, I actually think Owen Hart was a better...
He was a more exciting wrestler than
more exciting
Bret Hart.
Than Bret. Bret's like the greatest technical wrestler of all time. But Owen could have any kind of match. Most Bret matches were...
The only person I think who is close to the technical wrestler that Bret was, there's two. And that's... Kurt Angle in his prime, and Benoit. Benoit was almost there too.
Yeah.
But
we're not allowed to talk about
the thing about Benoit is...
He's a murderer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Slightly.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, Kurt Angle in his prime was close. Can you imagine a Kurt Angle in his prime versus Bret Hart in his prime? Oh, I wish we could just, like, make people de-age.
Why don't we just go get a PlayStation and play that?
Because then it'll be, like, 18 finishers, and we'll be like, no,
does that not
again.
Sound good?
Yeah, that sounds fun.
Okay, but continuing with this card. But anyway, my point is Owen Hart and Mark Henry. Owen Hart and Mark Henry could make that a pretty cool match. And it only runs 10 minutes.
Mark Henry at that time, though, wasn't quite what he is now. But
was this pre, or was this during Sexual Chocolate?
If he was with D'Lo?
This would have been just after the Nation.
Yeah, after the Nation.
He must have been Sexual Chocolate by now, then.
Yeah, he's probably pretty close.
Yeah.
And Jeff Jarrett, I fucking hate Jeff Jarrett.
Oh, I know.
Just
have you ever seen a good Jeff Jarrett match?
Nope. You know what? I might have seen one or two good ones, and that's about it.
I just remember him breaking guitars over people's heads. Honky-tonk man, you asshole. It's not even your gimmick.
There was a time when I would watch TNA, and it was like right after he stopped being the Triple H of TNA, but he was still around all the time. Yeah. And
he just started a new promotion again.
Yeah, and it sounds kind of cool. Because he's got on the roster, anybody who's ever been in WWE that's not in TNA, basically. And my biggest reservation about it is that, like, Toby Keith has a giant stake in it. Like, he's one of the big owners, and I hate Toby Keith, so I don't know if I can watch it.
I'm gonna look up the roster right here for Global Force Wrestling.
I remember Carlito's in it. That's like the only person I can think of right
now.
See,
I never liked Carlito.
But he spits in your face.
Do you have a listing of your fucking roster, you asshole? This is a shitty website. I shouldn't have to look this hard to find out who's in your promotion.
Nobody still like knows what their plan is for anything, though, which is kind of funny.
Have they actually done any shows?
Nope.
Oh, well,
they've just like announced signings, basically. Okay. And then those guys just keep... like working indie.
This week was the first episode of that new Lucha show too. That's on.
Yeah,
El Rey. It looks cool.
Who was it that owns it or whatever?
It's on El Rey.
Oh yeah.
And so Robert Rodriguez is now. Yeah. Anyway, continuing this card. Okay, this is something that sounds crazy to me. A 15, almost 16-minute Intercontinental Championship match with Val Venus versus Ken Shamrock.
Ken Shamrock was an excellent wrestler.
He was, and Val Venus wasn't bad.
Val Venus was always good.
He wasn't a great wrestler.
The gimmick was perfect for the time.
Yeah, and then when he did one night in TNA, did you ever see that when he wrestled with Sean Morley, and it was just like one match, and it was terrible.
That was their big like Monday night move, and Jeff Hardy debuted, and all that stuff.
Yeah,
and it was that whole show was bad because that was the same night that Bret Hart finally came back to WWE, and him and Shawn Michaels hugged in the opening segment.
I remember taping TNA,
I think, and watching. Yeah. I watched the first hour of TNA because it started
when
early.
When I got back into wrestling, back into TNA because Foley was there. That's why I picked TNA. And so I watched it, and so for about a year, like, I knew everything that was happening, and I watched Impact every week. Or it wasn't called Impact then, though, was it?
It was still called TNA Impact. Yeah.
They kind of stopped talking about it being TNA after a while.
Yeah.
And but I do remember the Knockouts division being so much better than the Divas division.
Yeah.
They actually had some good wrestlers. Like, anyway.
And now? No, not really.
No.
Which is weird because the Divas division is not good.
No, but the NXT Divas division is amazing.
Yes. But I know, like, TNA got rid of Gail Kim and... they have this new girl, Havoc, who apparently is, like, really bad. But she's married to somebody. I can't remember who. I don't know.
So then there's China and Kane versus Triple H and X-Pac. I don't remember when China and Kane were a team, because when China and Triple H became enemies, I don't even remember that. Because I just block most things China.
Yeah, I was going to say, I try to forget. I do remember the match, the three-way match with her, Chris Jericho, and who else was in it? Was it Benoit?
I think it was...
Was it Benoit or Angle? It was one of those two. No, it wasn't. It was... Because wasn't it at that Royal Rumble? Was it Bob Holly?
Yeah, I think so.
And they had the three-way match, and everything with Holly and Jericho was fine.
Yeah.
And then as soon as China got in the ring, it's just like... Everybody just started shitting themselves, and it was great.
Okay, so now the best match on this card, I remember this match actually clearly, it's Rock and Mankind. It's the one when they fight to a draw where they hit each other with a chair at the same time, and they get counted out and the crowd booed, but it's actually better than their I Quit match.
Really?
Which was at the Royal Rumble, so it was the next pay-per-view.
And that's your favorite match?
No, this is Rock and Mankind
at
the Royal Rumble. That's their I Quit matches at the Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
That's the one with all the headshots.
Oh, why am I thinking... Yeah, okay, anyway,
my favorite match is Royal Rumble 2000, the following year. With Cactus Jack and Triple H.
Yeah, okay.
And Steve Austin defeats Vince McMahon in a very short cage match to earn a WWF title shot at WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. So this would have been 1999 and WrestleMania 15, which is the first Rock... Austin match.
Because that was the year... Was that not the year when McMahon won the Royal Rumble?
Yeah, and that's why they had this match to get... So Austin could get his title shot back. That's actually a cool, like... Can you imagine, though, like when Batista won the Royal Rumble, remember how mad we were? Mm-hmm. How would we have felt if it had been, like, you wanted Austin to win, and then McMahon won? I think it would have been different because Austin was in the match. So you knew, like, they were obviously just trying to make him one more obstacle to climb over.
And I think it would be different then... I think generally wrestling fans were more forgiving back then in a way. Like, infinitely more forgiving.
More fun.
Yeah. And
but also, like, having Austin having been in the match, it felt more like a storytelling move and less like a WWE fucking the booking.
I think that was the big thing. Like, if they would have had Brian, you know, not even go to the final two, but, like, say final four or something.
In
like,
the
coming
match.
Coming into the into the actual Rumble match. And then going to the final two or final four, then I think it would have been a little better. But the fact that he didn't show up at all.
Yeah, it absolutely wasn't in the match.
Apparently this year they're going to 40 men again.
Is that right?
Yep, that's what I heard.
Because the year they did 40 was one of the worst years because it was...
Del Rio.
Well, that was a good finish.
Yeah.
Especially because of the false finish. And I was just like, Santino. Fuck this! Yeah. And then Del Rio won and I was like, oh, that's so much better. But it was a boring one because the reason they had 40 was because their roster was all injured.
Yep.
So they had like all the NXT and core guys.
Mm-hmm.
And it was shitty. And Diesel came back.
Yeah, that was the Nexus and the core guys.
Right, what did I say?
NXT.
I meant Nexus.
And that was when they all just started brawling at the start and it didn't make sense. Remember the core?
Yeah, that was Wade Barrett's spinoff.
That was really bad. Wasn't it Ezekiel Jackson?
Spelled core with two R's?
I can't remember, but I remember them like Ezekiel mentioning Jackson. It.
Well, wasn't it Mason Ryan?
Yeah, maybe that was
Bautista?
Yeah, he's gone.
Yeah.
So was Ezekiel Jackson, actually. Yeah.
No, what happened to Ezekiel Jackson?
I think he was hurt for a long time, and then he was healthy, and they just didn't use him. Well, I did see Brodus Clay is apparently in TNA now. They can't afford to pay Gail Kim or Bully Ray, but they can afford to bring in Brodus Clay.
The Funkasaurus.
Which, I mean, I don't have a problem with bringing in Brodus Clay, because I think he's probably useful in a certain role, which is
Funk
he shouldn't
is
be talking
role.
Or anything. He should just beat people
should
up.
Be call his mama.
Well,
honestly, I don't want to see Brodus Clay when he's not being the Funkasaurus, because like it wasn't even him I was in love with. It was the gimmick. It was like the theme song, how fun it was.
I was into Sweet Tea.
I marked out so fucking much over the Funkasaurus. I did not like Sweet Tea.
Sweet Tea was funny.
It's weird. The only time I've ever liked Albert ever is as a commentator now. In all of his wrestling videos, I always was like, oh, this guy sucks.
What's his name? Matt Albert?
Something like that, yeah.
Because I think isn't that his real name? I don't know. I can't remember.
I just always remember like his Prince Albert days, and then A-Train, and then Lord Tensai.
Yeah, Lord Tensai, and then just Tensai.
Yeah.
And he had Sakamoto, and he always used to beat him up, and then they never did anything like where Sakamoto stood up to him. Yeah. They just released Sakamoto.
Yeah, they never did anything.
Sakamoto, who appeared on TNA Bound for Glory because it was in Japan.
Oh, right.
And nobody.
I haven't watched a TNA pay per view since last year. It might have been Bound for Glory because it was the one where they revealed who the president of Aces and Eights was.
Who was it?
It was Bully Ray.
Yeah,
because it was like such a fucking Russo swerve, because it made no sense, because Bully Ray was like the hero who'd been leading the
been fighting
the whole time,
against them
and
for
then
like
all of a sudden
months.
It turns out I was in charge all along. Well, that doesn't make any sense. Why were you fighting yourself then?
You mean like when Vince McMahon was the higher power? Do you remember that? The ministry?
Yeah.
And it
but
would,
that
like,
makes
made...
slightly more sense. Okay. But not much, because Vince McMahon wasn't like in the ring every week getting the shit beaten out of him by
That's
his
fair.
Own team.
It was just his family.
It was stupid, yeah. Like, I'm the high... That was really dumb, but yeah. Almost as dumb as Hornswoggle being the mystery Raw GM, the anonymous Raw GM.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
Because that was like one of the great unpaid off... Like, that has to go up in the ranks of like...
GTV.
Kidnapped Samoa Joe.
Yeah. Like, who was behind GTV.
Yeah. Like, they just... Sometimes they're just like, this gimmick sucks. Let's just abandon it. And then they do. And then you're kind of like, well, I'm glad you did, but at the same time, you could have... Like, at least with the GM, they were just kind of like, well, we'll burn it off in, like, a shitty comedy skit. Like, wow.
I do remember when they would, like, always tease who it was.
And every week it was a different catchphrase. You're like, oh, maybe it's Austin. No, it's not Austin. Oh, maybe it's Shawn Michaels. No.
Yeah.
I was always just like, please let it be Mick Foley. Anytime there's anybody showing up, I always want it to be Mick Foley.
I know.
They should just
Trust
bring
me.
Back the commissioner and have the commissioner be the force for good against the authority.
Yeah.
Like, find some way to make the commissioner work so that the authority can't screw with the commissioner, so the commissioner's, like, the one force for good. Like, that would be a good story, because everyone loves those angles where it's, like, the two factions, and the one faction is just, like, the shitty bosses that everyone loves to hate.
Yeah.
Like, because the authority is a good faction. Mm-hmm. It's weird that they have Kane in it.
Corporate Kane.
Yeah, but it
Not
doesn't
Demon
make
Kane.
Sense, because since he became Corporate Kane, all he does is lose.
Yeah, he generally just loses, like, forever, ever since he became Corporate Kane, he's just lost, and then every time he becomes Demon Kane, he loses less.
Yeah.
A little less.
But it's just so weird, because it's like, they still treat him like he's the monster who everyone who's going to come and beat you up, but, like, everybody beats him.
Yeah.
So, like, he's basically Pat Patterson now, only taller.
And straighter.
Yeah, and, like, and I guess that means, like, Seth Rollins is Joe Briscoe.
I still like calling Joey Mercury and Jamie Noble the Nuges, the New Stooges.
The New Stooges, yeah.
And it's also because I like a hockey player. His name is Nugent Hopkins, so I call him the Nuge.
So I feel like watching Valentine's Day Massacre 99 would be good if we could skip the first 3.5 matches.
Oh, I can definitely skip those.
Even if we just watch the Rock Mankind match, because really that, and like the Austin McMahon match is good. It's better in the context of the angle, like, because it's only less than an 8-man cage match for a main event.
I remember that though, because that was during the Monday Night Wars, because that was when Big Show came over, when
because
he was the giant
in that match, right?
Yeah, and I remember that was like a big deal, pun intended. Because he's a large man.
Good one.
I would say he's probably one of the world's
largest
athletes.
Yeah, probably, right?
Is maybe the... I don't think he's the strongest man in the world.
Well, since this episode has basically become the Broiler Room Brawl, let's just continue with that. Let's give our thoughts.
I wanted to talk about, like, Marvel.
We can do that.
The
too.
Movie. Okay, we'll do that.
But
there.
I also want to talk about. We watched Hell in a Cell last week, and I always enjoyed doing pay per view reviews. So let's review our Hell in a Cell, shall we?
Okay.
So let me just bring up the card.
Okay.
And if you don't like wrestling, then just fast forward another few minutes, and then we'll get on to something else. But I just want to go through this because I enjoyed this pay per view quite a bit. Actually,
I really enjoyed it. Shockingly,
it had a lot of strength to it.
And for the first time in like 4 months, I was kind of excited to watch Raw the next night, and I didn't finish it, but whatever.
Oh, we didn't get to see the pre-show match, but there was a 36-second squash where Mark Henry beat Bo Dallas,
which makes me so sad.
Bo Dallas. They have to repackage him because the Believer thing is a funny bit, but there's nowhere to go with it.
I think it's just they didn't have the transformation of the character that happened in NXT. They didn't have it happen on Raw, because in NXT the thing was he was like the fired up babyface, and then the fans turned on him, so he just went like even bigger with it.
Yeah.
And when he got to Raw, he was already that character, and everybody's like, "Why the fuck would I care about this?"
Yeah, that's a really good point.
But I do love the fact that he like still Tebow's and stuff. Like, yeah.
Okay, so let's go through this fairly quickly. Right. Dolph Ziggler versus Cesaro in a 2 out of 3 falls match for the IC Championship.
Quickly,
super well booked.
We also miss Ms. Dow TV.
Oh, well,
the first ever edition of Miz Dow TV. Oh, I love Miz Dow. But anyways,
that has to end soon, though, because Sandow's going to turn face because of it and lead to him and Miz having a match and him being Miz, because
And then Sandow will be a face, and it'll fucking suck because he's the best heel.
Yeah, the gimmick just can't continue anymore because like it's just going to get annoying. It's only going to be funny until like the crowd now just wants to see Sandow. Yeah. Anyway. But how well booked was that IC Championship match?
Fantastic. I called the two. The
you didn't
two
call. You said it's not going to happen. You wanted it to happen.
I said, because I was thinking, I was like, they never do that. Never.
Yeah, you said it's going to be annoying because that's why it's basically only a one-fall match anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But you were wrong. So
it's just like most Iron Man matches get to like the 55 or 58 minute mark with a tie. And it's like, why bother? Like, why? Yeah. Like, I want Cena and Lesnar, since they're going to have another match, I want an Iron Man match where Lesnar wins like 19-0.
That would be pretty cool.
I just think that like it'd be different. It'd be something. Yeah. Not really different from their other matches, but
and
still.
And even if you bury Cena, who cares? He's the most over guy in the universe.
He's fucking Teflon. There's no way they can bury him.
The Bella match I actually thought was surprisingly decent.
Yeah, it was cool.
The storyline is stupid, but it was a relatively decent match.
I was the biggest heel for in that match for me was Nikki's shirt because it just would not slip a little further.
That was the commentary was Ryan being like, "Oh damn it,
it's so close." The storyline's garbage, but
yeah,
it was an okay match. The rack attack is a cool move.
Yeah, it is a cool move. The Dust Brothers versus the Usos, another like once those again, guys always have solid matches, and it was just like a really solid old school tag match where like the heels did something behind the referee's back and won the match. It was like. Classic tag booking. It was great.
The 25th good match between those two this year.
Yeah. Cena and Orton in Hell in a Cell to determine number one contender for some reason.
Yeah. I don't get why John Cena loses to Dean Ambrose and then
gets the number one contender shot. Yeah, who knows?
And then the next night on Raw gets to fight Ambrose anyways. Or not Ambrose, Rollins anyways. Yeah, it's like. It's
really but that match was good.
It was good.
I thought it was really good.
I think you were a bigger fan of it than I was. I thought it was fine. I mean, it was good. It was. I've seen worse Hell in a Cell matches.
I'm talking about the Cena Rollins match.
Oh, the Cena Rollins
match? That was good.
I didn't watch it.
The Cena Orton match I thought was good.
Oh, Cena Orton match.
Cena Rollins. If you go find it, you'll like it. It's really good.
I usually like Rollins.
Sheamus Miz pointless match, but Damian Miz that was really funny on the outside, and the finish was funny with him.
With him jumping off the stairs,
just with him like.
Oh, with the, and then, like, the doing the YMCA,
that was funny. Rusev and Big Show,
it was okay.
Again, not bad for a Hoss fight.
Apparently, they had a really good match like a week or two ago, like an excellent match with a dumb finish because it's WWE.
But it was basically just like a match to tease Mark Henry's heel turn
once again,
which happened last night, which is another way better. He's a way better heel.
Yeah, the best part of that match probably was what was on the outside. Of Lana. The ring. Mm.
Yeah. AJ versus Paige, that was garbage.
It was...
how many times have we seen that match now?
Yeah, and I don't think they really had a good match.
I agree.
I don't know if they just like don't work well together or what, but...
I like Paige, but I think she's still too green.
I think she's a little overrated, yeah.
A little green, yeah.
Yeah.
And then what we...
she's like 20,
the best
so.
Match of the card was Rollins and Ambrose in Hell in a Cell.
Yeah. That bump at the start was nuts, and the rest of the match was pretty, like, Ambrose going up top was fun. Like, Ambrose, the thing, like, they've been building this character that he's, like, crazy, and he's the lunatic and whatnot, but his character is so much fun, because it's 100%, like, I don't know what he's going to do next, and it's so much fun having something somewhat unpredictable on wrestling for the first time since... When? Like 2005, maybe?
There it is. There's our thoughts on Hell in a Cell. It was good. Mm-hmm. Let's move on from the Brawler Room Brawl into the world of comic books and movies. Hey. Marvel Studios releases the Phase 3 film slate, which doesn't include Black Widow. What the flying fuck?
Yeah.
I'm just so annoyed all the time now. Why can't a brother not get a fucking Black Widow movie? She's the most famous goddamn movie star in the world.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, you'd think with Scarlett Johansson, they'd be like, we should do this.
They're just like, hey, you know what's good? Money. Mm-hmm. We could, like, print it if we wanted with this movie.
I mean, I do think because of Guardians of the Galaxy, just put the Marvel name on anything, you'll make money.
But I want to see a fucking Black Widow movie. I love Black Widow. It's one of my favorite characters.
It's one of those things where, like, they've been kind of criticized for not having, all their... movie so far being male-centric superhero movies.
So they did more of the same plus one.
At least they finally did one that is female-led, but it's
how easy would it have been to do two?
Absolutely. Like, why can't you do a Black... Like, why can't they do a Black Widow movie and even have Hawkeye in it, but just make it, like, a fun spy movie?
Sure.
And Hawkeye, I mean, Hawkeye's been in one Marvel movie, too, so...
Two, if you count four.
Wow, I mean, yeah, but... he's been very underused too, and I totally would love to see them do a little bit more of like Fraction's take on Hawkeye.
Well, but I don't know if Jeremy Renner's the guy to do that. Phase 3 starts in 2016, and up first, Captain America, # or colon Civil War.
Did you see how they originally announced it though? They originally Serpent announced Society. It as Serpent Society, and I was like, that'd be kind of fun.
That'd be so much better. I was Although, so disappointed when they was like, just kidding. I'm like, fuck you.
Mind you, I think that the fact that they don't have the rights to like a lot of the characters from the actual Civil War story, plus the fact that they're like, they're not going to have a clone Thor and shit like that. Yeah. Like, it actually could be pretty good.
Is that like Tony created Ultron, so that's going to lead to the schism between the two in Civil War. Fine.
But I think it'll be good. I mean,
I'm sure it'll be fine, but it's not going to be a fucking spy movie then. It's going to be Civil War, and that shouldn't be a Captain America movie, but whatever. I don't like Civil War.
Mind you, the first Captain America movie was just Indiana Jones.
So good, though.
It was fantastic. It was like my favorite phase one.
Phase one, probably, yeah.
Yeah, because it was literally Indiana Jones with some sort of superpower. I liked it a lot.
The next one after that, this one's pretty cool. Doctor Strange.
With Benedict Cumberbatch.
Benedict Cumberbatch. That's a good pick.
I thought it felt like almost obvious in a way, but...
Yeah, because he's super famous. Yeah, it's obvious. You know who my pick was, like who I thought... Like, I know it's a stupid choice and people are like, that's dumb, but like, I'm dead serious. I wanted Paul F. Tompkins to be Stephen Strange. He would have been so awesome. And then we could have had like a fun... like not quite full Guardians levels of dopey, but like fun, totally Ditko, like him, like in a weird realm. Like I just love Paul F. Tompkins, and like, he has his own cape already. I just thought that, like, I know it's a joke, but I think he could have been really cool.
I think it would have been good too. I do think, like, that's my problem with. Well, actually, I don't know, because Cumberbatch does a lot of stuff in Sherlock that's a little more lighthearted, and
can be funny. I do think he'll be fine.
I mean, it's Marvel. I don't think they're like Captain America 2 was probably the darkest movie they've done, and it still had a lot of levity.
I'm not complaining.
So I think they'll make it.
I think it's
going
to be. I love that they're doing it. I love Doctor Strange, and I think that Benedict Cumberbatch would be awesome. Mm-hmm. And I don't think there was ever a chance that they were going to cast a comedian, a lesser known comedian to play Doctor Strange.
Well, there was, like, apparently they were really close to having, was it Joaquin Phoenix? And then he backed out because he was scared of the long deal they'd sign him to, because that's Marvel, and also because he didn't want to work that much on green screen.
That makes sense.
Which, yeah.
And he would have been fine, but no, I think the batch will be good. So that's cool. Yeah. I'm excited about that one.
I am a big Cumberbatch fan.
Oh, I think he's great. So, the next one. Okay, this is going to be sweet. Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
I can't wait. Because, and I was excited for the first one. It still, like, easily surpassed every expectation I had for it. That was the best Marvel movie so far. Easily.
I agree completely.
Because it was... all the Marvel movies have been fun, but it's...
I think it's the best superhero
movie since Hellboy. I haven't seen Hellboy. But
Hellboy's, like... Hellboy, Superman 1, and Guardians of the Galaxy are probably my three favorite superhero movies. Yeah.
How many Days of Future Past would you give Guardians of the Galaxy? Like, two?
I mean, out of what? Like,
I don't know.
I also love Days of Future Past.
Days of Future Past.
I would say that after I saw Days of Future Past, it was the most excited for a superhero movie I was after the movie. Like, I don't think it was as good as Guardians or as fun, but I was like super excited after I watched that movie. Like, I was like, I haven't felt this excited about a superhero movie since I saw the first X-Men movie.
Really?
I love that movie.
It was good.
But yeah, Days of Future Past was great.
Yeah.
So whatever that means, I give it 4.
Sure, that works.
Big bucket of popcorn with as much butter as you can get on there and 100 sodas.
And a cock ring.
Okay, so the next one, if they actually do the storyline the way I hope they do, Thor Ragnarok. The story Thor Ragnarok, the Mike Yvonne only story, is awesome.
Is it?
Yes.
Does he draw it too?
What's that?
Did he draw it too?
I don't remember. He might have, now that you mentioned it. I just remember he was writing Thor when Avengers Disassembled happened.
Yeah.
Which was the big right before New Avengers, right? So it was the No More Mutants thing, and that was when Thor died and was gone until Civil War. Or after Civil War.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't actually
Because it was like Thor War. Clone.
So it was a couple of years.
Yeah.
And that's actually what I think that's what they're going to do with the Fantastic Four. It's got nothing to do with the movies, like everyone says, but yeah. I do believe that at some point in the near future, they're going to cancel FF for a while.
I thought they pretty much announced. Like,
they haven't really announced it, but it's almost like open secrets.
Yeah.
And it's not got anything to do with the movie. I guarantee it's just like the same thing they did with Thor. Mm-hmm. We don't know what the fuck to do with him right now, so let's just not do anything so that when they come back, it's a big deal.
I think the other thing is they can't sell a Fantastic Four book to save their lives.
Yeah, well, I mean, and part of it is that they just keep spinning their wheels creatively. Like, no one has had an... Like, Hickman's run was good, but it also was impossible to jump into.
Yeah.
Like, there hasn't been, like, a really good, accessible, classic FF run since Mark Waid.
Fraction started okay, and then you could feel the disinterest.
Yeah,
Fraction His FF was way better.
Yeah. Mark Waid was the last really good FF run. I mean, and I love the Hickman run. Who's just really doing it?
James
FF.
Robinson?
What's that? Was it right now?
Yeah, yeah. I read the first two issues and it was fine.
It was fine. And it feels like it's just like stumbling around in the dark, trying desperately to figure out what to do with this book. Okay, the next one is the next one I'm really excited about. Black Panther.
And the casting. Excellent casting.
Yeah. I don't remember that guy.
He was in the James Brown movie.
That's what you told me, and I didn't see that movie, so I'm going to just...
Me neither. But he just looks like Black
Chadwick Boseman.
And that might sound like a little backhanded racist, because it's like, he looks like Black Panther. Why? Because he's black.
I'm excited for this movie, though, just because, like, if they do it, like, full Kirby, it'll be the greatest thing ever. Because Black Panther's one of the coolest characters, man. Mm-hmm. So cool.
It's cool that we're finally getting, like, the female superhero movie and... The African American, like it's like they're kind of. It feels like they're kind of like just check like shit. What movies were people getting mad that we didn't make? But
well, and also just like we have all these great characters who aren't Captain America. Why don't we do something with them?
Yeah,
like the next one, Captain Marvel.
Mm-hmm. And it's cool because this Captain Marvel is not an old creation. Like this is a fairly recent.
I mean, the character is old.
Yeah,
she's been around for a long time. But yes, her being Captain Marvel,
her not being Miss Marvel, right?
Recent, yes.
That was what two and a half years ago.
Miss Marvel, yeah.
Kelly Sue DeConnick.
Yes.
I hope she gets royalties, because she seems like a nice lady. But
unless they like base something on one of her stories, I guess. But I don't think they actually get royalties for the movies. Like, I don't think.
Yeah, I guess. Well, it is.
Actually, you know what? That's true. Brubaker doesn't get a dime from the Captain America movie,
really?
But he gets royalties from the book.
Yeah.
So when the book sales went up because of the movie, which they probably did in the bookstores, not in the direct market, then he probably got royalties for that. Anyway,
cool.
That's going to be sweet. And then we get into the only thing that's... Oh, there's also one more. There's the Inhumans.
Which is 100% like, shit, I wish we had X-Men.
Well, the Inhumans is awesome. Humans. I love Inhumans are cool. But part of me is just like, you're doing an Inhumans movie, but you don't have a fucking Black Widow movie. Like, nobody knows who the Inhumans are, except for like... Weird people like me who have read a lot of Fantastic Four comics, which is also weird because I'm surprised they have the Inhumans because like they're Fantastic Four characters.
Yeah,
but I guess that's it must be like the Fantastic Four characters that Sony or Fox, wherever the hell it is, has must just be like the Fantastic Four,
Doom,
Silver Surfer,
yeah.
and Doctor Doom,
and Galactus, which
right.
they didn't they haven't used
which
yet,
used
as far as
cloud.
I'm concerned.
Yeah,
yeah. I agree. I'm sure they have stuff I would imagine they have stuff like Mole Man, but. Like those really like iconic Fantastic Four.
Yeah,
I mean iconic's kind of overselling
I don't know. He's in the first issue of Fantastic Four. It's pretty iconic.
Yeah, Inhumans I think will be cool. I'm really excited to see a Black Bolt. And I 100%. I'm calling it right now. It's going to be Vin Diesel.
That would actually not be bad. Yeah.
I would be okay with it because I think he's got a good enough voice.
They cast him as the guy to say one word, and then they cast him as the guy to not say any words.
I don't know. That'd be cool. I'm excited for Lockjaw. And then, like... But see, now, here's what I'm thinking. Now that they're doing Inhumans, I really hope that in Age of Ultron, just, like, at one point, and they don't have to draw attention to it, but just, like, during a fight or something, like, during, say, the Hulkbuster fight with Iron Man and Hulk... Just, like, have the Watcher watching somewhere.
That'd be sweet.
And then you could just start having him pop up in movies. But never do anything with it. Don't do Original Sin. Just like, just have the Watcher keep showing up and never explain it. Because I just think that'd be fun.
It just occurred to me that I actually am looking now at Phase 2. I've only seen two of them. And only four of them have come out. And the only other ones are Avengers 2 and Ant-Man.
Mm-hmm. Ant-Man, I think, and would be really fun, three. Too. Which ones haven't you seen?
I haven't seen Iron Man 3 or Thor 2.
You haven't seen Iron Man 3 yet? I think you would love Iron Man 3. There's a solid, like, I want to say 45 minutes where it's kind of like a spy movie.
I probably would like
and that. And it's... I mean, if you liked Iron Man, you like Iron Man 1 and Iron Man 2?
I like Iron Man 1. I don't like Iron Man 2. Okay. Iron Man 2 is really boring.
It's kind of like if Shane Black did Iron Man 1, so it's just, it's That's good. Cool. It's really good. There's plot holes. Not Dark Knight Rises size plot holes, but there's plot holes. Hmm. But like I said, there's a cool like 45-minute spy scene. And Thor, and you haven't seen Thor?
Thor 2.
It's good. I've seen Thor 1. It's good. Yeah. Tom Hiddleston's the best part. Hmm. Like, not even close to anybody.
Isn't Doctor Who in it though? Christopher Eccleston? Isn't he like the Frost Giant or something?
No, he plays Malekith, the Accursed.
Oh.
And he is maybe the worst villain. Well, Mickey Rourke, but...
Oh, fuck. Whiplash, not good.
Malekith is just, like, because they... He's the villain, but the protagonist is kind of Loki, but also... Mm. Loki's kind of an anti-hero. Like
he's just too cool of a character to be the villain is the problem with Loki. He's just too cool.
Apparently he will be back for Ragnarok, though, which is cool.
So then that brings us to the big finale of Phase 3, which is irritating to me because it's Avengers Infinity War Part 1 and Part 2. I hate two part things, but that's obviously Thanos's the big Thanos finale.
Now, apparently when they announced that, they were showing like just stills, and they showed like the Guardians of the Galaxy.
Everybody will be in it.
Everybody's going to be in that, which will be...
Which will be fun. I just...
Fucking so fun.
Two-part movies just, like, exhaust me. Having said that, I saw the trailer, I guess it is, for Agent Carter.
Yep.
The TV show. Fuck, that looks cool.
Does it?
Yeah, it looks better than Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
At the very start of this season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., they had, like, a five-minute... part with like agent, it was like Peggy Carter and Dum Dum Dugan was in it, and I think one other guy, the guy that was in Lost, and like they kind of did a bit that kind of relates to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
like classic World War, like 1950s spy with a kick ass Sharon Carter or Peggy Carter rather. It looks
and not fun. To mention Haley Atwell.
Now, and I know we've mentioned this earlier when they were first announced, but these are the upcoming TV series that Netflix is doing. So there's Daredevil, which comes out in May.
Yeah.
And there's also Jessica Jones, which I'm into.
Did you see the first picture of Daredevil? When he's just got it's just him on, like, kind of on a building, and he's just got the bandana that covers his eyes completely and stuff.
Still training.
Apparently, they're going very Frank Miller with it, too. Which they have to.
I mean, I wish they would go Mark Waid because that's way more fun. But yeah, they're probably going to go.
They've used the G word.
Gritty.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
I hate the word gritty, not only because of like action movies and stuff like and superhero movies, but also because of hockey. Because I hate when people say like my favorite team is the Edmonton Oilers and they're not very good, and people say that they need more grit. And they'll literally say more sandpaper in the lineup, which by that they mean people who hit and fight and stuff.
I don't like about hockey.
Yeah, and the thing is that people that hit and fight usually don't score goals or stop other people.
That's what I was saying. Like, it's so weird that hockey fans would like that because wouldn't you rather see people play hockey really well? If you want to watch hitting and fighting, watch wrestling or MMA.
I went to a game a couple days ago and it was fantastic because it was like back and forth. It was like pond hockey, just back and forth, and it was so much fun.
Yeah.
And then there was, like, one hit towards the end that was kind of dirty, but it was... Not dirty, but it just looked painful, but it was, like, a complete accident. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the only time hits
you. It's part of the game! Why?
Hits, I understand. Don't understand finishing your checks and shit like that, where it's like, oh, the guy passed the puck, but I'm still going to hit him. Why?
Why?
Yeah. Like, oh, well, he's going to think twice next time he passes. Why?
Because he still passed the puck. Bumping, sure, but, like, the full-on, like, I want to rip your face off and stab you with a skate.
Like, the idea of a body check is to separate the man from the puck and then take the puck from him.
Right.
Not to take his head off.
Not to separate the man from his shoulders. Anyway. Yeah. But anyways, moving on. Jessica Jones is another show. That'll be fun.
Yeah.
Iron Fist, that could be so good if they do it well. Luke Cage and the Defenders.
I want to know who they cast as Luke Cage. I'm sure it's going to be like a no name kind of thing, but
probably.
Yeah, I think those. I also wonder if those Netflix guys are going to be in Infinity War. Like, I don't think so, but it wouldn't shock me, because they said they're going to tie them in.
What they're going to do is have those four shows, eventually those characters will become the Defenders. It'll be Luke Cage and Iron Fist.
Yeah, and then
Jessica Jones.
I think it'll kind of be like what happened with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., where, like, Phil Coulson was in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., or was in all the Marvel movies, and now he's in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and they basically have explained it by saying, like, oh, everybody else thinks he's dead still. So he, like, I don't think he'll show
up. Is he actually on the show every week?
Yeah. Okay. He's, like, the main star.
I shouldn't really watch that show. I'd probably like it.
Like I said, once you get to the episode where, like, the week that Cap 2 got released, it gets infinitely better. Because it starts okay, and then it just feels like the same show for about 8 more episodes. And then,
I don't remember how much we talked about this at the time, but Mark Waid doing that S.H.I.E.L.D. book.
Which...
Okay, so Mark Waid is doing an ongoing
show. Oh, yeah.
And it's going to be Mark Waid and, like, Carlos Pacheco and a few other characters. But, like, it's going to be really fun. It's weird that it's taken this long to do this book. But the fact that Mark Waid is doing it, I'm just like, oh.
And isn't it, like, the team from the show, I think, isn't it? Like, or something like that?
That's a good point. I think
Coulson's
the book's lead is Coulson. And each issue will be a self-contained story. So, yeah, I don't actually know... if it's going to be based on the TV series characters or... Oh, yeah, hang on. The cover shows characters who could be Fitz, Simmons, May, and Sky.
Fitz, so Simmons maybe... is like there's Fitz and Simmons and Fitz, and the girl, I think, which is...
Sky?
Simmons? No. Oh. The girl from Fitz and Simmons. I think it's Simmons. Is like so adorable.
Is she?
Yeah. Also, the girl who plays Sky is cute, too. But I'm more of a...
I really do need Simmons. And isn't Patton Oswalt like a recurring character on the show now?
Yeah.
Is he a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent or a bad guy?
Yeah, he's a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent. And he has this, like, ongoing bit with his lanyard. Like, he's like, don't worry, I'll get you a lanyard. That's kind of fun. It was...
All right, I'm going to start
watching. Yeah, I won't spoil... Because he shows up towards the end of season one. He shows up basically as soon as...
Is it fun?
Yeah.
Then I'll probably like it. Cause
I think it's fun.
I don't know if we've talked about this on the show, but like the Flash TV series is my jam.
I don't think we talked about this because I think you just mentioned it to me like last week. But
it's really good.
Really?
And I like Gotham too, as we know, but Gotham I like Flash even more because it's just like super fun. And the Flash is in costume halfway through the first episode.
Which is the way it should be.
And it's all just like fun and happy and it's just like... I'm the fucking Flash, bitch.
Apparently they're going to be doing, because Gotham has been so successful, they're doing a Krypton show that David Goyer's writing.
So that sounds horrible.
Yeah.
I hate David Goyer.
Yeah.
Is Gotham successful, though? People are watching.
Apparently it's gotten huge ratings.
Oh, good.
Which is...
Yeah. I mean, that's the... Because at first when it came out, all I heard was people hating it. But now it seems like people seem to be liking it. People who aren't, like...
Yeah.
Comic marks, for lack of a better word.
See... Well, my one good friend doesn't really read comics ever, and he's like, he's the one who was like, dude, you should watch Gotham. It's like awesome. Yeah. And he was like, you should watch
it. You mentioned him so often on the show, we can just
But people are going to start thinking, like, who the fuck names are Kid Cakes? But,
the hot man.
He was the one that texted me and was like, dude, you should watch Gotham. It's pretty awesome.
You talked me into it on the show, and I watched the two episodes that night, or the next day.
Mm-hmm.
And, in fact, because I was tweeting about it while I was watching it, and I got a text from Justin just saying, like, dude, I'm listening to Ryan talk you into watching it right now. And I'm like, it's really good. I'm still behind, because I'm behind on everything.
I think I'm an episode behind right now, but I'm behind on most things right now. I'm behind on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. This season has been good, though. They're doing kind of...
Isn't Deathlok on it now?
He was on the first season. Oh. They're doing kind of like a...
Tell me when Murdoch shows up.
I fucking pray.
Murdoch is my favorite villain.
They have been doing the Absorbing Man, though, which is cool.
That's cool.
And like I said, Kyle MacLachlan's in it, which is awesome.
Right.
And then they're kind of doing with one character, they're almost doing like a Hannibal Lecter kind of thing. And it's like, but it's really fun. Like Silence of the Lambs Hannibal Lecter thing, I should say.
Yeah.
And then... Who was it that was in the first season? Was it Bill Paxton or Bill Pullman? I always get them mixed up. Bill Paxton. And he was so much fun.
What was he? John Garrett.
He's like, he's a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent.
Oh, okay.
That, yeah. That won't spoil him much more. Yeah. Lucy Loth is also in the first episode of this season.
Elizabeth Henstridge. She plays Simmons.
She is Simmons. Hmm.
And Chloe Bennett plays Sky.
Mm-hmm. I like them both. And Ming-Na, who plays
Melinda May.
Melinda May.
She's pretty cool.
She kicks so much ass.
Yeah.
She's like the Black Widow of the show.
Oh, cool.
See,
and Leo Fitz is like the comic. What is he like?
Fitz and Simmons are like the science research people, but they're like kind of comedy relief. Sky is like the computer hacker who also has secrets about her past.
And I think you told me that towards the end of the first season, it crossed over with...
After
Captain America 2?
Well, like...
Kind of?
Well, you've seen Cap 2, right? You know, S.H.I.E.L.D. falls.
Right.
Like,
that happens.
The week after... That movie, like the week before that movie came out, they hinted at it at the very end, which is cool. And then the next week, it was like, oh shit, S.H.I.E.L.D. isn't a thing anymore.
Oh, cool. Adrienne Palicki played Mockingbird.
Yeah, she just, like the last episode I watched, she shows up and she kicks so much ass.
She's a great character, so that's awesome.
She has, I mean, like.
Just calling her Bobby Moore so far, but still.
But they have said, like, Agent Mockingbird. Okay. But she has one really quick fight scene that is so awesome.
And did the Thor characters ever show up? I see Lady Sif was in an episode.
Yeah, she was in one episode.
I wish they would just do a Lady Sif movie because she's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Is she in Thor too much? Because I should just watch that.
She's in it more than she's in Thor 1, really.
Robbie Hubel did an episode of this show.
Did he?
Lloyd Rathman.
I remember.
His character. He had one episode. I love Robbie Hubel, who is now a recurring character on the League because Ruxin has been gone so much this season. This season is the weakest season since season 1.
Yeah.
But... the hot tub episode was the best episode in a long time.
See, and I was like half asleep and I watched it, so I can't really remember.
Because that episode like was fucking oh, I loved it. And it was the one after the Rafi Randy episode was also really good, but that hot tub episode was so funny when Kevin is in the changing room trying to get out the changing the pants and Rafi's in there talking to him. Mm-hmm. And the guy outside's like, sirs, you have to come out. And Rafi goes, we are never coming out.
I love Rafi.
I do too.
When, like... there's a part of me that would be like, I would love like a Rafi and Dirty Randy TV show, but at the same time, it's like, yeah, it would get
so... It works better if once a year we get to see a ridiculous adventure of Rafi and Randy.
Because like, the main characters on that show are like already very heightened and like...
yeah.
Unbelievable. And then Rafi is just like the... like three levels ahead of them on the strange scale.
Right.
But I did love like Clean Randall and Raphael.
Yeah. Clean Randall.
And Jorma Taccone working at the mental hospital as well. And
June Diane Raphael. She was the nurse.
Really?
Yeah.
That's Paul Scheer's wife, isn't it?
It is. But she's also just like extremely funny. You need to listen to her podcast. Yeah. You would love how did this get
me? I listen to it every once in a while.
Okay, because the new episode, they talk about a movie called Monkey Shines. It was one of the funniest things I've ever seen. Because June goes... there's this thing at the end where June is like... I still don't know what the hell she's talking about the monkey credit. And like, it's just like Jason Mantzoukas trying to like talk to her, and Paul Scheer's like, I don't understand what you're talking about. Because it is next level bonkers, as they would say on that show.
I do like that, but I have trouble listening to that show when they're talking about a movie I've like never seen.
Yeah. Well, listen to the episode where they talk about Mr. Nanny or No Holds Barred. You will love the No Holds Barred episode because... that movie is right in your wheelhouse.
I did just listen to the Mortal Kombat one.
That's
with what's her name?
Esposito.
Yeah.
I like that one because June doesn't know what Mortal Kombat means.
Yeah.
Like, what is Mortal Kombat? No, not that. It was the Street Fighter one when she asked, like, what is a Street Fighter? And she asks the question, what is a Street Fighter? Also, dude, listen to the Howard the Duck episode.
Oh, okay.
That one has, like, a crazy next level bonkers June theory. Yeah. About duck evolution that is so funny.
Speaking of Howard the Duck, yeah. I did see somebody, like, there was, like, the picture.
I read it, that's where he saw it.
Where they photoshopped Howard the Duck for all faces.
Which would be the best. Yeah.
I texted my brother as soon as that, like, got announced, because I was working, which means I wasn't doing anything.
Right.
And so I texted him, like, dude, Marvel just announced all their movies. And he's like, oh, really? Does it look awesome? And I was like, yeah. I was like, the only way it'd be better if there was a Howard the Duck movie.
And a Black Widow movie.
Yeah, that too.
Well,
but I will say though, they were the bullies taking DC's lunch money.
Because
DC's kind of doing what they do, and I mean, I'm sure that they'll make money and it'll be fine.
Movie studios now are discovering you don't have to make movies; you just have to announce them to people like you. So, like, DC's like, I guess we have to actually make some of these movies now, huh?
The thing is, if Batman Superman is good, and I actually think that like the small, well, see, but they're really leaning heavy on Dark Knight Returns, which I think is cool.
I like Dark Knight Returns as well, but I don't trust Zack Snyder or David Goyer.
So I think that's a big problem. But at the same time, Zack Snyder movies make money.
Yeah, but not from.
So I'm sure they'll. They'll make lots of money and whatnot. They will not get near the critical acclaim that Marvel does because Marvel gets that.
I didn't pay to see Man of Steel. I got a free pass. Remember we went?
I do remember it.
If we get offered free passes to see Batman Superman, I'll see it. But if I have to pay for it, no.
We'll have to talk our way into that.
So, yeah.
Here's what we'll do. We'll go. Isn't like. Oh, no. Never mind. They switched it because I know. Cap 3 was supposed to come out the same weekend, so I was like, we'll go see Cap 3 and then we'll just walk over to the others.
Good idea. Well, I think an hour is good enough.
Absolutely. And I don't know if I'm gonna have enough gas to get home. I don't know. There's a gas station around here somewhere.
Well, that brings us to the end of the first episode of our new format, which maybe we'll go back to the old format next week. I don't know. It depends on what Rob's into, but for this week
it's a Geek Stampede Roundup episode 0.1. Get the point.
Yeah.
When I first started buying comics like 2 years ago, that was Marvel's thing, was get the point.
I remember that, yeah.
And then now it's all new. And next month it'll be like new all. I'm assuming.
So I'm putting a disclaimer on this episode that says if you don't like wrestling, skip the first 30 minutes.
Yeah.
So if you don't like wrestling, sorry, but we do. So.
If you don't enjoy good things, fun stuff.
In fact, the only tag I'm giving this podcast is wrestling.
That's,
I'm
lazy. Absolutely.
I'm so bad at tagging these things because I just don't give a shite.
Do you just need new spray paint?
Yeah.
That because.
Oh no, I got it.
Tagging.
Oh no, I get it. Yeah. It's really funny.
When people.
Dude, it's spray paint. Really funny.
I thought you said it's really fun, and I was like, you are a vandalizer?
I'm a vandal.
Vandalizard? We should start a band called the Vandalizards. Although I feel like we're kind of ripping the Vandals.
And I don't know how musical either of us
are. And also the Lizards. You're musical.
Yeah, I guess.
I don't know why I just went like this. I can kind of play drums. I can count to four. Like it's like. All
right. Well, until next week. Catchphrase. Signing off.
That's my catchphrase.
I like that. My new catchphrase is going to be catchphrase. Signing off.
And then I'm going to go.
All right. Let's do it again. Until next week. I'm Joey G.
I'm Ryan.
Catchphrase! Signing off!
Oh, did I jump in early?
You did. We'll do it again. Until next week, I'm Joey G.
And I'm Ryan.
Catchphrase! Signing off!
Ah!